Okay, if we can begin, I think just to keep it the direction we've been going, maybe we could just recess for a few hours. No, we're gonna make the attempt to work through this tonight. What we're gonna do is we have several articles ready. This is going a little bit slower during the course of the day than I thought it might be, and that's what Representative Carlson and I were doing, is that there's another issue that's come up, and we're talking to respective folks in the Senate and House about that. But we're going to adopt the articles we have ready. We might recess, not for length periods of time as we've been doing during the course of this past few days, but we might recess simply to wait for the preparation of some of the other articles. And certainly, as members know, the conference committee remains open. This is a single bill. So the hope is we can complete and adopt the articles. But obviously, there are some issues that are going to be coming into play as things proceed over the course of the evening. And so we should have copies available for everybody that will be distributed, I think, that the staff will help with. I think what we're going to do is start with the higher education article. There are a couple of pieces that have not been determined, but otherwise I think we have a relatively complete article. So are we having that distributed then?
It's been distributed.
So I think we want staff available to help. So, President Carlson.
We should probably announce that copies are available for the public on the table outside, and they're also posted online, various articles and amendments. So, as you point out, the goal is to get as far as we can tonight. If things go well, we may be able to get all of those. As Chair Cohen pointed out, sometimes we're a bit dependent upon the reviser of office, the reviser of statutes, as well as getting things copied and so on. So that will often determine that we can come back from a recess. But Mr. Chairman, when you're ready, we can start then with the higher ed article, and I have a couple of motions that I would be prepared to make.
Okay, and I should also make it clear. I think some of the conferees are still working with each other in terms of their articles. So let's make sure. Has everything been distributed to the conferees? And particularly in the case of this article, Representative Pawlowski is seated behind the conferees.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if, in case there are questions, if Representative Pawlowski couldn't take a spot at the table here somewhere, if he's willing, just in case.
You too?
Okay. And can we have the higher ed staff at the front table? Okay, does everybody have the higher ed proposed article?
I don't have that.
Everybody around the table, and do we have copies available for members of the public, et cetera, who want to take a look at it?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Mahoney.
Is it just this particular one? This is two or three or four page article?
It's higher ed DE with a spreadsheet, a small spreadsheet. Well, let's. I want to ask before we start making motions. Let me just ask for a brief report from Representative Pawlowski and Senator Bonhoff on the work and issues. And I think we'd like Representative Carlson, if it's okay, to have each of the respective chair conferees.
I was just going to put the bill before us, but that,
fine. If you'd like to do that,
we can do that before or after. Well, I move that the Senate recede from its amendments to House File 3172 and that House File 3172 be further amended by deleting everything after the enacting clause and inserting. And then I think it was going to be Senator Bonhoff who's going to move the article.
Senator Bonhoff, if you want to move the article at this point.
Mr. Chair, I would move the higher ed dash DE article.
Okay. So let's have some comments from the respective chairs, and then we'll have Mr. Savory and Ms. Weidman take us through the spreadsheet, and Mr. Gary and Mr. Fuller talk about what's in the article. So, Representative Pawlowski, any comments?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Senator Bonhoff and I have worked on what you see before the committee literally since the two bills passed, the Senate and the House. Senator Cohn and Representative Carlson have also been involved, as have Speaker Thiessen and Majority Leader Bach. So the agreed-on material has been a joint effort in a bipartisan way with both the House and the Senate. So I am hopeful tonight we will be able to put Article 1 into the conference committee.
And Senator Bonhoff?
Mr. Chair, I would just also add some of the remarks that I made at the first time that we heard the bill, and just remind members that the three objectives that in the Senate that we held before us was, number one, to reduce student debt. And so I'm pleased that within this bill we have the policy that allows higher ed to come back and recommend an approach to refinance student debt at a lower rate to take advantage of the creditworthiness of the state of Minnesota. And it has been interesting since we first put that forward. Senator Franken is working on the very same thing at the federal level, and that's getting quite a bit of press. The second objective we had within our higher ed community was, or higher ed committee, excuse me, was to increase student completion. And so we're pleased that the article before you does have the provision, two provisions. One provision that directs MNSCU to have a plan to allow credits to be transferred more easily so that 2 years of work amounts to 2 years of credits within the MNSCU institutions. And so I thank the various folks who came together to support that initiative. And within this article, we have the funds for College Possible, and it is my belief that the group most at risk for not completing are going to be best served by the insertion of the language on and the funding under College Possible. And then our final objective within the Higher Ed Committee was to increase 21st century job preparedness. And so while that won't be within this provision, later when Senator Tomassoni and Representative Mahoney talk about their provisions, we are most proud to launch our pipeline project, whereby we're setting forward a new approach to experiential, industry-based student learning. And so we'll talk about that then, but did want to highlight as one of the significant accomplishments of the work we did in the committee. So I thank the members for their support.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, just one other note. The conference committee target was much larger than the House target and thus allowed for the inclusion of more information that was originally in the House bill. So thank you for the larger target.
Okay. And maybe to start off, I'm not sure who would like to just make sure we know where the numbers were from one of the fiscal staff. It's fairly simple, but you know, we issued the targets publicly. Representative Carlson and I worked on this into the not late night, but pretty decent late night on Saturday to establish targets for each division. So I think most people are aware, but just as we present each article, let's make sure we know what the dollars were. So let's start with that. And then what we have in the spreadsheet. I'm not sure who wants to volunteer.
Just in terms of the general target, Mr. Chair and committee members, the fiscal, this current biennium was $22,250,000, and then the outlying tails was $43 million. And the incoming House provision, which we started with, we had $17 million for MNSCU.
Mr. Savory, could you just pull the mic a little bit
sure,
closer?
Certainly. For MNSCU, starting
this
off.
This is why we need a new House members, a new office building, so we can hear each other. So,
The House had $17 million for an operating increase for Minnesota State Colleges and Universities system. That number was $14 million in FY16 and FY17 for a total of $28 million in tails. And that was the only part of the provision that we had to start out with from the House perspective.
Of the committee, the Senate went into this bill with a target of 2,500 distributed between appropriation for college possible, an operating increase for MinSCU, and some additional money for Duluth and regenerative medicine at the University of Minnesota. There was only $10 million going into tails in the regenerative medicine, and as Mr. Savory indicated, we ended up with for MinSCU continuing into the tails and 4.5 for regenerative continuing into the tails, as well as $750,000 one time for college possible. And you will find rider language that goes along with each of the appropriations in sections 1, 2, and 3 of the bill.
Okay, thank you. And if we might have a presentation, I'm not sure who, Mr. Geary and Mr. Fuller, just in terms of the language we have in front of us, if you might take us through the proposed article.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Matt Gehring from House Research. The only policy item that came through in this bill is from the House bill is the rider language that's now attached in Section 3 for the MinSCU $17 million appropriation. This is the rider that requires the use of that $17 million to fund the costs associated with settlement of employment contracts for fiscal 2014. And the remainder of the policy in the bill is Senate policy. I'll have Mr. Fuller explain that.
Okay, Mr. Fuller.
Mr. Chair, members, starts on page R4. Everything that's in this amendment was in the original Senate bill. There's no new items. There are two items that were slightly changed. First one is the study abroad program. The change is that the agency that's going to administer this has changed from the Office of Higher Education to the Secretary of State. The military veterans, resident tuition, honorably discharged veterans is Section 6. Section 7 is part of two sections that deal with the issue of regulating distance institutions that provide distance learning from outside the state. Section 7 authorizes the Office of Higher Education to enter into reciprocity agreements. Section 8, Section 9, Section 10 are part of the Senate proposal to authorize the Office of Higher Education to refinance existing student loans, irrespective of whether they originated with the Office of Higher Education Loan Program. That authorization is effective June 1, as before, no changes in those provisions. Section 11 on page 7 is the language that authorizes the Office of Higher Education to enter into a reciprocity agreement with respect to distance learning with outstate institutions. If they do decide to do so, then certain institutions will have a lesser level of regulation, which would allow them, currently they're reluctant to be registered in Minnesota, would allow more learning opportunities for Minnesota residents. Section 12 was mentioned, the baccalaureate completion program, requesting MinSCU to come up with a plan so that recipients of certain Associate of Arts degrees from MinSCU colleges have a 60-credit track to a baccalaureate degree. The other change, this is the second change, is that a minor change is that the group that's going to do the planning work at MinSCU will be, as you see on page 8, line 1, the appropriate committee under the MinSCU Board's Charting the Future initiative. Section 13 is student loan refinancing report coming back, assessing what the terms and conditions. We're asking OHE to come back with a report as to any changes in their student loan refinancing. And Section 14 is another OHE report, which asks them to come back with a report concerning what is the appropriate level of state regulation of study abroad programs.
Okay, thank you. Do members have questions for any of the staff? Any other comments on this particular article? And certainly I appreciate, because I've been in just a couple comments. Obviously, we know that this conference committee has wrestled with the 16-17 tails issue, wrestled both on the House side, Representative Carlson, when the bill was coming through the House. Obviously, we wrestled with this on the Senate side. And I do want to make clear to everybody that I think everybody in the room understands, but this was certainly a source of concern on the Senate side that I hoped we could fix in the conference committee, and thanks to House members were able to do so, to have the tails represented for the Minsky budget for 16-17. So that obviously makes a difference, and certainly in terms of some other provisions, because as pointed out by Representative Pawlowski, the House was not able to provide quite as much money as the Senate did, and so appreciate the House's willingness to listen to some of the proposals from the Senate and incorporate them in this article. So are there any further discussion, questions? Senator Wieger.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I wanted to see if we could entertain a possible amendment at line 2.14, and it relates to College Possible. Strong supporter of it, and I thank Senator Bonoff for having the funding in the higher ed division. This was heard very enthusiastically in E-12 division, and as you know, it will work with students in high school to help them graduate, which is clearly a goal for that we share in E-12, and for the reporting, as they work with the high schools, I would like to see if possibly the report could report to the E-12 Education Committee as well. This will help us in achieving our goal for higher graduation rates and with the similar goal for graduation rates. So I didn't have a chance to talk to Representative Marquardt about that, but it would just include in the report at line 2.14 after education, insert and E-12 education.
Okay. We have Senator Wieger's motion, which is fairly simple, Representative Marquardt. So on Senator Wieger's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carries. Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Bonoff renews her motion that the conference committee adopts the higher education article, the delete everything amendment as amended. If there's no further discussion on that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonoff.
I'd like to at this time also then thank the staff who has worked so hard to put this article together. Maya Weidman, John Fuller, David Kornecki, Sean Oyes, Chair Pawlowski, and your staff. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, we know that all the staff is with these kinds of efforts just kills themselves, both the nonpartisan staff and the partisan staff. So that is certainly true of these folks as well as all the others. So thank you.
I think we all give our thank you.
Okay, well, this is kind of working out so far. We'll see what happens. We're off to a good start, right? So next we thought we would do we have the public safety article? Okay, let's do we have that? Is that ready to go?
That would start with seven.
Get that ready, right?
Yes, I'm told it's ready.
Okay. But hang on a second. Do we have this ready? Okay, we're going to take a couple of minutes, make sure it's distributed to everybody at the table. And
we can have Lance and Pamar be in to comment.
Well, let's have it distributed.
It's about time. My eyes are just not very good. I can't even move this glasses in.
So we have.
Almost later.
No,
getting pretty small.
Okay.
So this is where we need the oral.
Good thing for the appropriation section.
You got one of them?
So, members, as this is being distributed, we have, I think, possibly four articles. And,
I have enjoyed it, though.
And Representative Pawlowski, hope you'll stick around because we've got our disaster language that'll be part of this. Is the House not getting this the same? Okay. So does everybody have the proposed articles? I trust. And we've got staff in front of us, as we did before. Let's begin with a couple of comments from Representative Paymar and Senator Latz. Representative Paymar.
Mr. Chair, I would just, here to answer any questions. I appreciate the money that is being suggested, especially for the sexual assault prevention grants, and would hope that the committee would adopt the section of the spreadsheet as well as the language in the bill.
Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman, I'm similarly here to answer questions. Mostly, much of this article is actually in Senator Dibble's Public Safety Committee jurisdictions. I don't have much to say with regard to those pieces. The corrections institutions are getting some funding to deal with the expungement. I'm not sure if we're in the right articles. You tell me if the expungement stuff is in this particular one, if it's separately in the judiciary article, but we'll have the expungement funding in here, the funding for keeping up with the wage obligations for the Department of Corrections, and also to take care of the overbooking, if you will, of the prison system. More prisoners than were forecast needed to be housed, and they went into county workhouses, and the Corrections Department has to reimburse the counties for the bed space.
Okay. So let's begin with Mr. Walls. Mr. Turner, just comment on the target that was established and then just take us through the proposed spreadsheet.
Mr. Chair, I believe members have a spreadsheet passed out, and I, before I begin, I'm just going to mention that the spreadsheet is prepared due to the to reflect the acceptance of an amendment we anticipate to be offered here in the future that would take care of a tails issue. But Mr. Chair, the committee was given a target of $35 million in the current biennium and a tails target of $40 million for 2016 and 2017.
Okay, so Mr. Wallace, Mr. Turner, if you might take us through the spreadsheet and explain what we have in front of us.
Mr. Chair, I won't go through the differences between the House and Senate because both bills came into the conference committee in a very similar state. I will begin in the Department of Corrections under the conference committee column. The governor had requested $19 million for salary supplements to the Department of Corrections for the contracts that were negotiated by the administration. The conference committee report will fund that request in its entirety. However, due to TAILS constraints, they will be reduced in the TAILS by $370,000 each year from the governor's request. However, they do receive the full $19 million for this request in the year 2015. Also included is an $11 million allocation for prison population growth and rental beds at the counties. There is a small amount of money in the TAILS to pay for a separate conference committee report, which was House File 1851. That was for repeat fifth-degree criminal sexual conduct, expanding that to a felony. Also included is $50,000 for the department to implement changes to their systems in regards to a victim notification provision that will notify victims upon the release of an offender and denote the zip code that that offender will be residing. Mr. Chair, with the salary increases and the prison population growth and those other small provisions, that sums up the provisions for the Department of Corrections. Under the Department of Public Safety, we have a request from the governor. This is a special revenue fund to continue the emergency communications network funding. These are 911 fees. That amount is $11,924,000. We also have a provision that renewed $6 million of prior appropriated money, and that was an amendment that was accepted by the conference committee earlier, and that again is special revenue funds of $6 million. There were three grants. One was for youth intervention programs. They will receive $700,000 in fiscal year 2015, with $100,000 allocated for East African youth. There will be a $300,000 allocation in fiscal year 2015 for a culturally specific domestic abuse service center or shelter, and also a $300,000 grant for sexual assault prevention grants, and that will continue with $300,000 provided each year in the TAILS. We also provided funding for, as Senator Latz commented on, funding for a conference committee that agreed to new BCA, new expungement provisions, and there is $473,000 for nine positions at the BCA. The last item under the Department of Public Safety is $1.3 million of special revenue funds. These are unexpended, unallocated funds in the balance of the firefighter training account, and those will be appropriated for use for training and equipment. Mr. Chair, that brings us to the Post Board. There's a $50,000 grant for veteran de-escalation training grants. Under the Department of Human Services, we have money requested by the department to comply with the expungement bill that passed. And finally, there's a $3 million transfer to a disaster assistance contingency account. Mr. Chair, that's essentially the spending provisions in the bill.
Okay, thank you. And then if we might have some discussion of the article of either Ms. Purius or Mr. Backus or Mr. Turner.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members, I'll go through Article 7 and then Articles 8, 9, and 10 will be done by other people.
Okay.
I'd like to ask first, though, Mr. Chairman, when would you like to offer the amendment to Article 7? Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry, we had a...
Okay.
I'm sorry, Mr. Turner.
Okay, I'm going through Article 7.
Yeah.
We have an amendment to Article 7. Should we discuss that after I...
Why don't you go through the article and then we'll have the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, members, Sections 1 and 2 are simply the summary of the appropriations and the structure of the bill. The appropriations start on page 2. Section 3 is the public safety section. Subdivision 1 is simply the appropriation by fund. Subdivision 2 was a previously adopted provision for the Emergency Communications Network. It's operating costs from the 911 fund. Subdivision 3, the Office of Justice Programs, the three grant programs that Mr. Wells discussed. Lines 2.15 to 2.25 is the Youth Intervention Program. For 2005, $700,000. It's a one-time appropriation, and that was a Senate-only provision in the original conference committee. 2.26 to 2.33, $300,000 for the culturally specific emergency housing and programming for newer immigrant population. That was in both bills. It is one time in the conference committee, and we took the House language. And finally, 3.1 to 3.9, $300,000 for sexual assault prevention grants. It's ongoing. In the bill, the TAILS are listed at $350,000 each year. This is one of the provisions that will be affected by the amendment. Subdivision 4 is the fire safety account, $1.3 million. It's been previously adopted by the committee. It's for firefighter education and training. Subdivision 5, criminal apprehension, as was mentioned earlier, $473 $1,000 to the BCA for implementation of the expungement bill. Section 4 is the corrections appropriations. Subdivision 1 is the total appropriations. Subdivision 2 is correctional institutions, $27,289,000, of which $11,389,000 is one time. So that it works out to $6.2 million or full funding for 2005, and the tails at 15.9 each year for institutions. This section is also affected by the amendment. Move on to community services on page 4, $1.9 million in operating costs with tails of $1,833,000 each year. There's also under community services a $50,000 appropriation, one-time appropriation for the victim notification provision that Mr. Wall spoke to. Finally, subdivision 4, operation support. Full funding 2015 of $900,000 with tails of $850,000 each year. Section 5 is for the post board, the de-escalation grants. This was in both bills, funded in the House through the post board. In the Senate, it was funded in the Office of Justice Programs. The Conference Committee took the House language and funded it through post board reimbursements. Section 6 is the human services rider, again related to human services costs in enacting the expungement provisions. Section 7 is a previously adopted provision. It's carry forward spending authority for the next generation 911 spending in the emergency management or emergency communications networks. And it's from a 2009 Minnesota session law. It was in both bills and, as I said, previously adopted. That moves all the way over to page 6, starting on 6.33 at section 8. That was also previously adopted. It was a transposition error in the Department of Public Safety summary total for fiscal year 2015. It's from last year's budget bill. Section 9, it was also previously adopted. This is a long provision from 7.14 to 10.9. And what it does is authorizes the retention of a business analyst by the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension to assist in replacing the state criminal reporting system. Section 10, post board carry forward authority for reimbursement for training peace officers on how to handle sexually exploited or trafficked youth. Finally, we're on section 11, which is the $3 million general fund transfer by MMB into the newly created disaster contingency account. It's created in a future article. Finally, one thing that needs to be mentioned is what is not included in the conference report is the Senate rider requiring the DOC to study the use of private prisons to house state inmates.
Okay, questions for Mr. Turner relative to Article 7. Okay, seeing no questions, we do have what the one amendment, I believe. I'm not sure what the number is, but if we could have that distributed to everybody. It's the A-173 amendment, and possibly if members on my side might pay close attention, because somebody's going to have to move this thing. I've had some discussions with Representative Pamar in the last couple of days, and as members know, this Representative Carlson and I have done this conference committee in the past. Because we have not been cutting money, it's been even a little bit more difficult in establishing targets. And as a consequence, we were taking into account relative to this article what we thought was needed. But in the process, we were a little bit short on the 16-17 tails. And Representative Pamar can maybe speak to the amendment. It's been drafted at my direction as a member of the conference committee, but it attempts to deal with the sexual violence grants, something that Representative Paymar has worked on, probably has as much, well, has more expertise probably than anybody in the legislature, and as much expertise as, I don't know, many people in the country, I would expect, and made a compelling case for providing money in the 16-17 budget. The catch is that we had the money spoken for, and we didn't have additional TALES money that we could direct for this purpose. So Representative Carlson, I think you'll back me up on this, had a discussion about taking some limited dollars from the correction TALES. So we're basically keeping that whole. I thought it was only fair, however, to not take the entirety from there, but also to take an equally small amount from the regenerative medicine appropriation in the TALES. And obviously, as everybody on the conference committee knows, I've been involved in that issue pretty significantly. I thought it was only fair that we take a look at something on the Senate side, something in particular that I'd been involved with, because we are carrying a decent amount by way of TALES. So this will – so Representative Paymar, I don't know if –
Mr. Chairman, could I quick – what I should do is quick the Article 7 before we move.
And I'm sorry, we had not done that. So
yeah,
Representative
so
Carlson.
I move that the public safety –
No, I'm sure.
I'll move the amendment, the A-173 amendment that we were talking about. And with your comments, Mr. Chairman, it was one that we talked about before and we concurred on. So.
Okay. Representative Paymar, I know you're tied up. I don't know if you have any comments about the amendment that you'd like to make.
Just briefly, Mr. Chair, I would really appreciate that if this amendment would be adopted. We spend so much money on the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. We spend so much money on sexual assault treatment, and we're just not dealing with preventing sexual violence. And this is a very small but a good start, I think, in the right direction that provides competitive grants statewide. For innovative ideas on how to prevent sexual violence, and
I'll just further comment, and obviously I had requested the amendment be prepared. It's coming from one of the House chairmen. Hope members of the Senate might support Representative Carlson's motion. Just want to make the comment that in the process of trying to comply with a difficult TALES budget, a lot of grant programs were turn into one-time money, and I think we did it in the Senate in significant ways. There are some programs that we thought rose to a higher level where that's not the case, and I think Representative Paymar had made a pretty good and compelling case to myself in these last couple of days relative to this. So I don't know if there's further discussion on the amendment that Representative Carlson has moved, but on the Carlson motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. We have further discussion on Article 7, which has been moved by Representative Carlson. Further amendments, further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, and
Representative Carlson.
I will renew my motion.
Would Representative Carlson, I assume you're making as part of that motion, that the staff would be directed to make any conforming technical amendments as needed.
Yes, I think that would be this article.
So, on the Carlson motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Okay, then we have Article 8. Is that correct?
Yep.
I don't know the background.
Who would like to represent Carlson? We have
education.
Okay, Ms. Prius, is that correct? Or Mr. Backus?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Whoever is going to walk us through Article 8.
Mr. Chair, members, Ken Backus from Senate Council. I'll walk you through Article 8 quickly. So first, sections 1, 2, and 5, which are on pages 1 and 2 and 4 of the amendment, these provisions authorize the Commissioner of Corrections to disclose to crime victims the city and zip code of an offender being released from prison on a domestic violence-related case in certain situations. This is the provisions that there's a $50,000 appropriation in fiscal year 15 in Article 7 to fund this, and this is basically the House position with the Senate clarifying amendment. Pages 2 and 3, Section 3, was already adopted by the Conference Committee. This is a provision on juvenile continuances. Pages 3 and 4, Section 7, was also already adopted by the Conference Committee. It's a provision addressing Fire Service Advisory Committee. Page 4, Section 5, this was already addressed as part of the victim notification I just mentioned. Pages 4 and 5, Section 6, was already adopted by the Conference Committee. This addresses default misdemeanors. And then finally, on page 5, there's Section 7. This is new to the Conference Committee. And what this is it's on page 5, Section 7. It's a fix to an error in the omnibus liquor bill, which was just passed last week. It relates to liquor sales at TCF Stadium. And under current law, the authority for how the university conducts sales of alcohol at TCF Stadium expires on July 1, 2014. The liquor bill contained a provision that was going to repeal that sunset. The problem, however, is that repealer did not have an effective date. So the default effective date is August 1, 2014. The problem being, though, by that time, the current authority would have expired, and the repealer would not revive that. So that this section is intended to fix that.
Okay. Do we have questions or comments from Certainly ask Representative Paymar about the article. Questions from the committee. Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just express appreciation for addressing the default misdemeanors, turning them into default petty misdemeanors for new legislation. And this is a predicate for next year. It's our hope to take a look at the broader scenario of default misdemeanors so that we aren't just constantly Well, now we won't be constantly creating default misdemeanors, but next year we're going to look at the past created default misdemeanors and see what we can do. As you can see, the bed space is an ongoing issue at the state prison level, and county workhouses also have these same kinds of issues. So I want to lay that foundation for next year.
Okay. Other questions, discussion, amendments on Article 8? Otherwise, Representative Carlson moves adoption of Article 8 with the allowance for the staff to make any conforming technical amendments. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, then we have Articles 9 and 10 being distributed. Possibly House members already have the language. Representative Pawlowski, this is the disaster language, and just waiting for it to be distributed.
Well, it's being distributed, Mr. Chairman, maybe to just move things along.
Representative Carlson.
I'll move the public safety, delete everything for Article 9. And 10.
All right, we have Representative Carlson's motion on Article 9 and Article 10. Who's going to – have we had that distributed? Who is going to
–
Mr. Sullivan is going to – yeah, Mr. Sullivan is the person who worked most closely with Representative Pawlowski and myself in drafting the language. And maybe I can just make the comment, Mr. Sullivan, before you begin. In the perfect world, we would have passed the legislation as passed by Representative Pawlowski off the House floor and placed in this bill. Given the budget targets that were a little bit more difficult in the Senate, we had some we had basically what we had worked on, but not quite everything. And then given the budget targets for this conference committee, I believe, as Mr. Sullivan will explain, we're basically substituting the Senate language for the House language. Representative Pawlowski and I have discussed this. And in my perfect world, I would want to be honest, to have adopted the House language and would have wanted actually to have passed the House language on the Senate bill off the Senate floor. But again, some difficult budget targets have made that difficult. But I think we've made a good start toward addressing what we had wanted to do at the beginning, I think, in the fall. So, Mr. Sullivan, if you want to take us through.
Mr. Chair and members, Articles 9 and 10 are virtually the same as the Articles 9 and 10 in the House bill in House File 3172. Members have already reviewed that language as part of the side-by-side walkthrough. There are two significant changes from the House language that are incorporated into these amendments. The first change is that the contingency account, the new disaster contingency account, will be in the special revenue fund rather than the general fund. And the second change is that the House language had a statutory appropriation of up to $4 million per fiscal year to pay for disaster response costs. That's in addition to any amount of money that's in the contingency account. That additional $4 million per year statutory appropriation was removed in the amendments. Other than that, the language is the same.
Does anybody have any questions on what Mr. Sullivan has presented relative to the disaster assistance accounts? Should point out, I think when we adopted Article 7, that you would find the $3 million appropriation contained in that article. Is there further discussion? If not, Representative Carlson's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We don't need a motion. Adopt everything. Adopt the articles.
You just adopt both articles.
Yeah. Yep. We've done the continuing technical thing.
Yeah, but he hasn't explained Article 10 yet.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. Okay, so Mr. Sullivan, did you want to continue? Anything you wish to add on Article 10? We did Article 10. And Mr. Nauman, you had a question?
Did 9 and
10. I just want to make sure you did 9 and 10. If you did, I missed it. Sorry.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
So
we're done.
Okay, so that's the conclusion of the public safety articles. I'm wondering if we apparently have an amendment that's being worked on Senator Saxog and Representative Murphy's article, and so we're going to need a recess for just a couple minutes. Can I just make if members would allow me kind of an editorial comment? So, you know, we reach this point at the end of the session. I've done a few of these, and we reach a point where we say we're going to finish tomorrow. We can hardly wait to get out of this place. We're just tired of this place. But it's also a little bit bittersweet. So I just want to thank Representative Paymar, because this is his last conference committee. And he has done a spectacular job. Well, the House members would have to comment if he's done a spectacular job in the House. I think he has. But in District 64, he's been a great partner for myself, a great friend. We've had a lot of, enjoyable times, some less than enjoyable times over the last number of years. But again, I won't speak for the House, but I know he's going to be missed by everybody in the 64. House members will get a chance to know the person we think who's going to replace him, who will be an outstanding legislator. I think some of you already know him. I think he'll do a great job in representing not only our Senate district, our House district, 64B, because I'm a constituent of Representative Paymar's, but we'll do a very good job in the House. But Michael's going to be a tough, tough act to follow. So hope you don't mind my taking this opportunity to, as chair of this conference committee, to thank you for everything you've done. Representative Mahoney.
Well, as a House member, I don't want him to get too big of a head here, because that seemed awfully flowery. And, you know, Michael and I have had our differences over the years, some spoken loudly, some spoken softly. But, you know, I'd keep him around if he wanted to. Thank you for your service, Michael. You've been a good person to work with, and we do appreciate the work that you've done. And women everywhere in the state of Minnesota should be grateful that you for your service here.
Thank you. Thanks. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would like to second your comments. Michael has truly been a pleasure to work with. And, you know, that smile of his will be missed. He sits just down a couple seats from me on the House floor. And when he has an issue that he wants to talk about, he has that unique smile when he makes a request or a recommendation. But he's one that we always listen to on the House side, and he's always been very pleasant to work with. And I, too, want to thank you for your service. And I think we'll probably get another opportunity the last night. But being as was pointed out, this is your last conference committee. I think people in the audience that have followed your public service would probably like to thank you as well. So thank you, Michael.
Representative Hundley.
Mr. Chair, a little-known fact around here is that Mike Paymar and I were on the Duluth City Council together in the early 80s. And he has the first time that a debate on the, in that case, the council floor, where my mind was actually changed on a gun control bill. And it was Mike Paymar that actually got me to change my mind.
Well, and to bring it full circle, you grew up in District 64B.
Right.
So,
but we've traded places.
Yeah. So,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Paymar.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you very much for the kind words. It's, I never, 18 years just seems like it has flown by. And I guess there comes a time when you make that decision and it's time to move on. And I have some professional aspirations that I want to pursue, but I'm going to miss this place. I'm going to miss being involved in the public safety debate, and I'm glad I've had an opportunity to contribute. And I just want you all to know how much I respect the work that you're doing. People don't realize